Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Hey, it's Sean Sullivan filling in for Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. I do a show, many shows here at FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile. But it's fun. Get to talk to folks on the other end of the state. You can also check me out on Twitter if you want to directly interact over there. It's at FM Talk 106.5. So at FMTALK 106.5. And hit me up on Twitter and we could talk there as well. All right. A couple things before we go any further. You heard it there in the top of the hour news. Gilbert Gottfried, too soon. Gilbert Gottfried may or may not have been, what's the statute of limitations, Copper? May or may not have been a name that I may or may not have used on a fake ID when I may or may not have been a student at the University of Alabama decades ago. All right, so back in the, if I would have, I probably didn't, but that, and the number of people, I guess that was a bad thing for Gilbert back then because people wouldn't say, you're not Gilbert. But the news now, Gilbert Gottfried. Comedian, Aladdin star, and Variety magazine saying the owner of the most recognizable voice in Hollywood has died after battling a long illness. His family announced this today. He was 67. His publicist told Washington Post he died due to complications from muscular dystrophy. Gilbert Gottfried was one of those amazing comic. And the fact that, you know, you have him in Aladdin, you have him in doing voiceover for children's movies, family movies, those kind of things. At the same time, Gilbert Gottfried told some of the filthiest jokes ever. And he could bridge both worlds, which is good. I mean, Gilbert Gottfried is famous for being, you know, people will say on stand-up comics, are they blue? Do they do blue? Yes. Gilbert Gottfried was a definition of blue comedy and then could turn it around and be, you know, voices that his voice that would bring things to life in a Disney movie. Says here, down in Variety says, yeah, the same. Gottfried was known for his crude humor, political incorrectness. You know, maybe it is as tough as it is. Maybe I don't know how Gilbert Gottfried could have continued in this world of cancel culture because his stand up, like most good stand up, involved making jokes, which is tough to do in a political correct environment. But they say Gottfried was known for his crude humor, political incorrectness, and shrill voice, which helped give life to a number of animated characters, such as Iago the Parrot in Disney's Aladdin, the robotic bird Digit in PBS Kids' Cyber Chase, and the Aflac Duck in commercials for the insurance company. So think about that. Think about those, like, family brands. I mean, Disney and PBS, let alone Aflac. Maybe Gilbert Gottfried is more important for a bigger discussion of how wrong we've gone in this world. Gilbert Gottfried, who could be filthy. They said crude humor here. He could be filthy. And you know what that was for? That was for grown-ups who chose to listen to it and not stand up and laugh heartily like I did. But he could be, at the same time, that didn't make him unable to voice characters in an animated thing, because he's not playing it blue when he's in Aladdin. He's not playing it blue on PBS Kids. The Aflac Duck isn't telling the Aristocrats joke. Those of you know what that is, just grinned. But maybe it's a sign of where we are, because in today's world, well, you can't put him in the Disney piece because he had a joke about gay people one time, and we know where Disney is on this, right? But this is the world that we're in now. And maybe there's not space for Gilbert Gottfried, which is a shame. He's born in Brooklyn, New York, February 28th, 1955, started performing stand-up comedy at just 15 years old. Gottfried had a short 12-episode stint on Saturday Night Live. I did know that. He was on SNL, but it was short. Yeah, 12-episode stint on SNL during season 6 in 1980, and he reunited with his SNL colleague, Eddie Murphy, on Beverly Hills Cop 2. Was not the better of the Beverly Hills Cop. One, classic. Two, So one of his first major film roles was that. And then Howard Stern frequently invited, if you want to understand the blue humor, Howard Stern frequently invited Godfrey on his radio show in the 80s, where he impersonated people like Andrew Dice Clay, Groucho Marx, and Bela Lugosi as Dracula. So it's a shame. Funny guy, passed away. But I think it's a tell here, because you've got a situation now in today's world, if you agree with me here, we hear from you on this, where Gilbert Godfrey couldn't do the blue humor. He couldn't do the dirty jokes and then turn around and be allowed, because somebody would be on there like, no, you can't have him in this because he said this joke about this one time, so therefore he's banned. Oh, yeah, thank you for the prompting. If somebody was to talk about that phone number, I did not give the phone number out, and I'm going to do that right now. 86, I'm learning this. I'm going to be good at it by the end of the show, and then I'll forget it before next time. 866-494-9866. Once again, for the alphanumerically challenged, that's 866-494-WVNN, 866-494-9866. All right, so we can talk some Gilbert Godfrey. We are going to talk about the end of legislative session coming up later on in the show, and got some commentary here just from around this station that I possibly was not being fair to Governor Ivey. Now, let's do this. I once again do not disagree that it is a worthwhile thing for a Republican to talk about and a governor of a state that has to deal with cost when it comes to illegal immigration to talk about the omission and commission of a disaster on our southern border by this administration, by the Biden administration, by Vice President Harris. But out of all the things that you lay, if you lay your head down and you go, man, you know, this illegal immigration thing, could this be the undoing of our republic? You may worry about voting patterns by people who aren't citizens. You might worry about crime or with that, the amount of drugs smuggled in across the southern border. You might worry about the situations where well-meaning folks in Central America, Mexico, and beyond will risk everything to get their children over a fence for a better life, and that we're encouraging that behavior. But is your biggest worry a breakout, an epidemic-level breakout of bilingualism in the state of Alabama? Let's go back here. Here's Governor Ivey's ad. We'll call this the No Way Jose ad. Let's cue that up. Let's go with that.
I'm Kay Ivey. If Joe Biden keeps shipping illegal immigrants into our states, we're all going to have to learn Spanish.
Right. So if President Biden and this administration keeps sending illegal immigrants into our states, flying them on airplanes in the middle of the night, sending them all, you know, in Texas, they want to put them on a bus and take them up to D.C., right? They're coming in. They're coming to America, as Neil Diamond used to sing. But this, in this case, illegally. The biggest worry from that will be a rampant breakout of bilingualism in the state of Alabama. Okay, let's go on.
My message to Biden, no way, Jose.
Oh, sick burn. No way, Jose. So there it is. That's the latest messaging there. If you want to know what the worry is. So over at yellowhammernews.com, Dylan Smith writes this: No way, Jose. Ivy refuses to learn Spanish. Good headline, Dylan. Ivy refuses to learn Spanish and slams Biden shipping illegal aliens into the U.S. Tuesday, the reelection campaign of Governor Kay Ivey released a television advertisement taking aim at President Joe Biden over his administration's immigration policies. That part, like I said, y'all, I'm with the governor. I'm on her side. Goes on to write paragraph number two here. The 30-second spot titled No Way Jose, it's in quotes, features Ivy suggesting that American citizens would soon be forced to learn Spanish due to the Biden administration shipping illegal aliens into U.S. communities. The ad also sees Ivy tout her administration's efforts to combat illegal immigration. Let's give that part of it. Yeah, we play the end of it here. So before we get back to Dylan Singh, so let's go. Let the whole thing play out. So the governor goes on to say,
that's why I sent National Guard troops to protect the southern border. And that's why we banned sanctuary cities in Alabama. The left can try to cancel me, I don't care. But here in Alabama, we're going to enforce the law.
Well, okay, so if the left goes to cancel Governor Kay Ivey, I think they'll probably, I think it's already in the works, it'll be over the transgender stuff, probably not the immigration stuff. Although, if they catch on, you make it easy for the left, the mainstream media, when you say, no way, Jose, right? And you claim in your first salvo that the clear and present danger is a breakout of bilingualism. So it may make it easier for the left to go after the governor on this. But that's just something I'm wondering. If you worry about illegal immigration, is it bilingualism that is the number one thing you're worried about? All right. Speaking of the transgender here, that it gets signed into law, and I think within 24 hours, if not less, the lawsuit challenging it is already brought into federal court. Okay? So here you go. Alabama's newly enacted law, making it a felony for doctors to prescribe gender transition medications to minors, is being challenged in federal court. Under what reasons may that happen? We'll talk about that when we come back. More of Right Side Radio. Sean Sullivan filling in for Phil Williams. Right. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. Sean Sullivan filling in for Phil Williams here on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. The phone line, the digits here, 866-494-9866. Like, it takes me a show, you know, to remember these, although I'm going to be filling in for Yaffe again pretty soon, so I'll get these memorized. 866-494-9866. And I've taken up most of the we're running late here because of, a soliloquy over Gilbert Gottfried and his passing and a discussion of the rampant bilingualism that could come to the state of Alabama. So we'll have a few minutes here before the news and then come back more with my next guest. District 105 representative, truly the other end of the state, but things that affect the whole state. Chip Brown joining us now on Right Side Radio. Chip, thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Great to be with you.
Hey, good to have you on. And Chip and I talk a bunch on my show at FM Talk 106.5. And one of the things we talked about towards the end of session was your, do I call it a plain or a clean lottery bill? What's the right term for this?
Well, it's whatever you want to call it. A clean lottery, a simple lottery.
Okay.
Just lottery only.
So the governor reacting to, she was asked a question by 1819 News. They said, they asked her what her biggest regret of this session was. And she answered, I was disappointed that they did not get the gambling bill passed. Not that I'm so much for gambling, but I do think the people of Alabama ought to have the right to make that decision. I wish that had passed the legislature so people could vote it up or down in November. Which gambling bill is that?
Well, I don't know. Okay. Wasn't really a whole lot of communication with the governor's office on my bill. So, my bill came out of members of the House that wanted to give the people of their district an opportunity to vote on, just like the governor said. But it came from the bottom up of people, you know, that I serve with that wanted to give their constituents that opportunity. So I'm not sure which one she's talking about.
Me either. That was, some of the raised eyebrow I had when the governor said she was disappointed. I mean, she didn't say the lottery bill. She didn't say Representative Brown's bill. She just said the gambling, gambling did not pass. We've had from last session to this one, that can mean a lot of things.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's why, I just had a lottery only bill, because that's the way that I'd like to see it, is give people the opportunity to vote on a lottery bill, a gaming bill, a sports betting bill, that sort of thing. And I saw an opportunity to possibly get that done. And we just had a fear that, what could happen upstairs in the Senate, and with such a short period of time remaining in the session, I just, I didn't, I didn't want to put us in a situation where we were getting some negative vibes coming back from the Senate. So that was kind of where we ended up, was that we'll just take it up again later on.
But you know, I mean, you know it from your constituents, but you can see the polling. This is a wildly popular thing, just lottery. It would get passed. A CA and a tax lottery bill would be passed. I'd bet on it.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, one thing that, one, I mean, we haven't voted on a lottery since 1999. So, you know, Alabama has changed quite a bit. And one of the things that has changed quite a bit since 1999 was in 1999.
We're up against, let's do this. I knew I'd screw that up here at the end of the hour, segment. Coming right back, more with Representative Chip Brown right here on Right Side Radio. Right Side Radio, Sean Sullivan filling in for Phil Williams here on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, and continuing conversation with Chip Brown, District 105, and we're talking a couple things. First of all, the lottery bill and it not happening, and the governor saying she was her biggest disappointment with y'all in this session is that the gambling bill wasn't done. Okay. Does this come up in a special session? I mean, y'all got to go back for a special this summer, right? For ARPA money, do you think gaming comes up in this?
Well, it could. I mean, you know, I'm not certain what the governor's thought process is. I've heard rumors of that, but I've heard it both possibly this summer. We do have to come back, you know, to do the ARPA money, but I mean, she could very easily put those together. She could also wait until next year and do it as a special session inside the regular session, or call a special session anytime. I tend to think, you know, when you get into July, you start running into issues of ballot access, of when would you have the special session. You have to have it time it right where mm-hmm. you could get it on the ballot in November and that sort of thing. So I tend to think more along the lines that it would be a special session inside a regular session.
So you're saying for special session, no way, Jose, for the governor. I mean, but she said, here's the quote, the governor, I mean, I'm just taking her at her word. If she says her greatest regret from this session was that that's y'all, in the legislature, did not get the gambling bill passed. If it's her greatest regret, then I would say, Governor, why wouldn't you call a special on it?
Well, that's right. And, you know, I would have to say, too, if that was her greatest regret, then we had a pretty successful session because, you know, I mean, I could think of a lot of things that I would regret instead of that. You know what I mean?
So yes.
I tend to think that I don't know. My money would be on doing it next year inside of a regular session, but I don't know. I can't get inside Governor Ivey's head, so I have no idea.
Yeah, another thing coming here at the end of session. That is, I want to get your take on this. Obviously, you and I have talked about this a lot, but Alabama's newly enacted law making it a felony for doctors to prescribe gender transition medications to minors. It passed, it was signed, and within 24 hours, it's being challenged in federal court. Number one, your opinion on this. Number two, do you think this has the wheels to make it to the Supreme Court?
Well, I do. Actually, I was the House version of that was sponsored by Wes Allen. He brought that bill 3 years in a row, and I was a co-sponsor on it, I believe, all 3 years. You know, I will say this on that, Sean, is that what you do as an adult, that's fine. Do what you want to do as an adult, as far as regarding your own body and stuff. But when you look at children, I'll tell you what, I had, because I was the first co-sponsor on that bill, it was a year ago, 2 years ago, people don't understand when they look at bills, a sponsor versus a co-sponsor. And so I received calls from all over the country, people calling me, you know, yelling, all kinds of stuff, you know, wanting me to die, wanting me to, you know, horrible things to happen, that sort of thing, because I dared to sign onto that bill. But one call in particular stuck out to me, and it was someone from Mobile that called, or they said they were from Mobile, and they called and basically yelled at me and wanted to know why I wanted to interfere in the life of their 4-year-old transgender daughter.
Wow. 4 years old.
4-year-old. 4-year-old. I mean, what 4-year-old really can even make their own decisions? At 4 years old, you can't write sentences. You can't. I mean, so having a complete thought that you think that you're transgendered at 4 years old, I mean, to me, that's child abuse, and it's just wrong. And I think this bill in particular addresses a lot of those issues. Now, I do feel for those children that are going through those and having those issues. I feel for those families. But at the end of the day, I mean, we heard from so many people that had gone through this process as a teenager only to regret it later. So why not put the brakes on it and let them decide as an adult what they want to do with their life? But when they're a child, I don't think I think it's child abuse. I mean, if you had a parent that was neglecting a child and treating a child improperly and abusing a child, the child would be taken away. So why would we allow this? I mean, it is just wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And so I do think this is a child abuse preventive bill. And I do think that the way that this bill was written, it will stand up in court. I mean, when you bring a bill like this, you know, we brought the tightest pro-life bill in the country, I think it was 2019, and that bill, it had lawyer after lawyer after lawyer look at it to make sure that language was right, that it would stand up in court. I went through this process with Anaya's Law when we did Anaya's Law, the comprehensive bail reform.
Yeah, and I want to get to that in a second.
So when you go through that process, you have to anticipate that you probably will be sued. And so when you're doing the bill, you're looking at all those little elements of how it would stand up in court and from a constitutional aspect of it. And so I feel very confident. I mean, we all knew and anticipated that lawsuit coming. And so that's no surprise.
Well, I think the key, what you're saying is, because I was, you know, I can play devil's advocate. I actually agree with you 100%, but for the sake of discussion, I'll play devil's advocate and say, in this government, in this what conservatives say, stay out of our business. It's our children will make a decision. But you're pointing out that this is child abuse, right? That is a child welfare issue.
Well, I do think it's a child welfare issue. And I you know, another good example of that is I had a bill this year, and I believe there was another bill also, one in the Senate, that the age of medical consent in Alabama is 14. I mean, that's insane, 14. So we have to look at that from, I looked at raising that to 19 for vaccination purposes. I mean, when you're 14 years old, can you make a decision on whether you want to get a certain type of shot or not? I mean, are you that fully informed? No, you're not. So I do think there are certain instances where the government needs to step in, and this is one. I think the pro-life side of things is one. I mean, we're talking about life or death situations, and so I think that this, from that standpoint, it is the right thing for the government to step in and protect the child in this case.
You mentioned here, we have about 4 minutes left here, but you mentioned Anaya's Law, and I'm on a support mission here. You bring Anaya's Law, you get unanimous passage of this with your fellow House members. It's a bill that's signed off on, but it's still not law in Alabama. Explain quickly what the law does and what folks need to do in November to make sure this does become law.
Sure. It's Anaya's Law. It's named after Anaya Blanchard, who was from Homewood, and she, college student, going to Southern Union in Opelika, had gone to a funeral in Birmingham, had driven back home to Opelika, dropped her brother off at Auburn to go to school at Auburn. She stopped at a convenience store. An individual that was in the store kidnapped her, assaulted her, and killed her. And he was out on bond, and he was out on bond for a kidnapping, attempted murder, a robbery, an assault of an elderly gentleman that was in the vehicle when they pulled him over, had multiple arrests. But in Alabama, unless you're charged with capital murder, technically they can't hold you without bond. And so what Anaya's Law does is it allows a prosecutor to request that someone charged with a violent Class A felony, which would you're really worst of the worst, your kidnappings, your murders, your rapes, your sexual assaults, those they can request someone be held without bond. The judge can grant that request and have a hearing, and they have to prove that an individual is an imminent threat to themselves, an imminent threat to the community, or a flight risk, and they can hold them without bond. And by doing that, it will keep dangerous predators off our streets. I get letters at least once a week I get an email, a letter from someone across the state of Alabama asking about Anaya's Law and citing a particular case, usually a relative. But it's on the ballot this fall, and we have to pass it.
Yeah, that's one of the keys because, and I don't know if the conversation has happened with the WVNN folks like it has here, but you and I have talked about this so long that I guess people thought it was already law. And when we've had these situations with people back out on bond here committing another heinous crime and people are going, why, and we got Anaya's Law through, it's a constitutional amendment, right? So that is incumbent upon us when it comes to November. If you want this change, you have to vote on this.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yeah, when you have a constitutional amendment, it has to be on the ballot. And so it'll be on the ballot in November, and you know we have to pass it. This will reform our criminal justice system like we've never seen. It'll allow for the first time district attorneys and judges to keep violent offenders off the street pending trial. I mean, we have cases all across Alabama where people are charged with murder and kidnapping and all sorts of terrible crimes. They're bond out. They get right back on the street and do it again. I mean, we had a case in Mobile where a guy was charged with murder in the fall. He bonded out and he killed his girlfriend in January. I mean, it's just terrible. We've got to stop it.
Absolutely. And even in the meantime, what some judges are doing with the increased bond amount, being able to call for a cash bond or something in the meantime to keep these people from being right back out and committing another crime. That's important wherever you are in the 67 counties of Alabama.
That's absolutely right. I mean, I it's something that will impact even the smallest cities right up to the largest urban areas. I mean, it is comprehensive criminal bond reform, and it impacts all of our lives. It really does.
All right.
We've got to pass Anaya's Law.
And I'm going to keep reminding folks, and I'm sure the folks at WVNN will as well. Before we wrap up, just a minute left here. District 105, as we talk to folks, well, here's the music. I just want to have a chance to, everybody from Huntsville probably goes to Gulf Shores or Orange Beach. Give them a vote for Dolphin Island.
Hey, Dolphin Island, you know, if you want go-karts and you want a million restaurants and not to be able to see the beach because there's so many high-rises, go to Gulf Shores or go to Orange Beach. If you want to go to Dolphin Island and relax and see the beach like it was 30, 40, 50 years ago, slow pace, go to Dolphin Island.
There we go. Excellent. See, that's what I like. Brought to you by the District 105, Representative Chip Brown. Thank you. Coming right back, more Right Side Radio right here on WVNN. All right. wrapping it up here on Right Side Radio. Sean Sullivan filling in for Phil Williams. Big thank you to the crew to make this happen. And, yeah, we'll be doing it again in the future. I think I'm coming in for Yaffe. This is News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, 866-494-9866. So I get it right here at the end of the show. But I'll memorize it by the next time. I'm teaching myself, just repetition. Hey, before we wrap up, I mean, there's a couple things we learned today, right? That, according to the governor, she was disappointed that they didn't get gambling done. And also, the biggest threat from illegal immigration, at least according to her new ad out there, is an outbreak of bilingualism in the state of Alabama. Not any of the other things we might worry about with unchecked illegal immigration. It might be the bilingualism that'll get us. But so some things we learned. And then it's a lot to get me to talk about the United Kingdom. And you don't know. You've not heard me over the decades. I'm not an Anglophile. I mean, I understand they're very trusted and great ally and individual English people I could get along with. But this really is more on the royalty and the worship of royalty that just I'm too American to get into that. But I'm going to point something out that has happened here. So two stories. Let's compare and contrast. Over the weekend, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson went to Kyiv. You saw that, right? Goes into Ukraine. I will say it wasn't as risky as when earlier NATO members went in, since the Russians were not on the doorstep of Kyiv at that point. They had pulled back, but you don't know what assets were left there and assassin teams or anything like that. So, I mean, it's still gutsy to go into Kyiv. It's not even like Lviv on the other end of Ukraine. He's in Kyiv. Now, once again, the Russian army was not on the front doorstep, but the Russians were in the country, and Lord knows what kind of assets were there in Kyiv. So in a show of solidarity with the Ukrainians, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson goes to Kyiv and walks around the city, talks with Zelensky, does all that. Okay. That's pretty risky, right? And a risk, I mean, it's a little more risky than being at 10 Downing Street. And then this story today to contrast from CNBC. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Finance Minister Rishi Sunak were fined by police today for breaching COVID-19 lockdown rules. So, going to Kyiv, where I think he had no mask on, going to Kyiv with no mask, that wasn't the danger, but they say Johnson and Sunak have today received notification that the Metropolitan Police intend to issue them with fixed penalty notices. We have no further details, but we'll update you again when they do. Okay, this is coming from the police. So it was later confirmed that police issued the fixed penalty notice for the Prime Minister in retaliation to a gathering of two or more people held at 10 Downing Street on June 19th of 2020, which is the Prime Minister's birthday. So something that's 2 years old, they are telling them they broke the law, fining them and punishing them after he just put himself in a war zone and everything was hunky-dory with that. So just want to let you know. So COVID law in the United Kingdom is still more important than realpolitik, right? Than the danger that he was under in Kyiv. It's way more important to make sure that he is punished and fined for a breach of the COVID rules back in 2020. All right, Sean Sullivan, and a big thank you to the crew at WVNN and to Phil Williams, and hopefully be talking to you again one day. Y'all have a great evening.